take just a minute or two to kind of give you an idea of what we did. And so when the testimonies come and they explain, it makes sense. So we arrived on Tuesday, full day of travel. Then on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we had half our group went out and did evangelism. They took balloon. You saw the balloon animals. They took balloons, puppets, illusions, magic tricks, the gospel tracks, and they went out and they just engaged people. So those pictures you saw weren't the same group over and over again. That was different groups of people. All those beautiful faces you saw of Dominican kids and Dominican adults were people who which Jesus Christ died for, some of which probably have never heard the gospel before. And so the area that we were in is a very rough area. About 5 minutes north of us was a very much the drug center of the Santo Domingo. And it's just about 5 or 6 minutes from where we were. On the way there, Pastor was telling the church this morning, with the road we went by, we never told the teenagers this the entire time we were there, but they called that the Jericho Road. And they said, if you weren't with your driver, they would rob you, shoot you, kill you, whatever they would do had we not been with a Dominican driver. It just was an absolute, now that was the area we went to. And where he's at, we went out. And we stayed in very, very safe parts of those areas, and we were in large groups. But while they were doing that, we were putting a roof on the building. We were replacing the ceiling tiles and getting them all cleaned up, putting in lighting, putting in ceiling fans, painting the entire building. If you saw the concrete, we actually break the big pieces of basically rubbish up with a rock, trying to make it ready for concrete. And I just want you to know, our group was awesome. They had such a good spirit. There were some days we worked from 7 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock p.m. and then went back and didn't even eat till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And there was very little to no complaining. It was just a great opportunity. So that kind of gives you an idea of what we did. And so we'll have a couple different people give testimony. So we'll start with Brother Juan, and then we'll have Kane come up here and be ready on deck, and then Jeremiah behind him. And so all of them will take just a minute and a half to share what God did in their heart during the mission trip.
Well, the testimony's minute, minute and a half really ain't enough to express what we, you know, the feeling you have out there. We all know that pictures are worth 1,000 words, but the feeling that you have when you're out there is actually much, much different. And I just want to say thank you to all who prayed over us and just the support. And one thing that really hit me out there, we had these kids, they always would follow us, and we would have tracks, and they took the tracks from us and were willing to go in the houses. They don't even knock. They just go in there and just put them in there, hand them to the people and so forth. Cars driving by, they'll hand it to them. Anybody, motorcycles, anybody you see. And that right there is just showing how they're even willing to go out and do God's work. And another one that really touched me, that the kids that had the balloon animals, we ran out of balloons. And there was kids going by in cars, and people would stop to see what was going on. These kids, some of these kids were willing to give their last ones to those other kids inside the car. And that just touched me right there, showing how us here in the here, well, just here, we could be so greedy and so selfish. And looking back over there just really touches me with that to show. And I know we could always say, you know, be thankful for what we got, but if we do that, are we willing to share it as well? So thank you all.
So first of all, I just want to thank all the adults who made this trip possible, and then everyone back here who just prayed for us while we were gone. And this trip, it was really just an amazing trip. It was an eye-opening trip too, just seeing all the kids and all the adults who they just come up to you, and they're so friendly, and they're just happy, and they'd follow you around, like Brother Juan said, and they just help pass out the tracks, and just seeing how little they have and just knowing that they are so content with what they had really gives us, like, no reason to complain about what we have. So
I just wanted to first thank everyone that helped financially to get us there and all the prayers and support that y'all did. Probably the most touching part to me was just how friendly they are to people, just because they have every excuse to be bitter and angry, just the way how they live and just where they are, like physically, and just how they're, just because we're Americans, I mean, even just because we were Americans, they were friendly to us too, but even just the way they treat each other is just crazy to how friendly they were. And that's about it.
Well, Well, hello. First off, I'd like to say thank you. This mission trip was such a blessing. This is actually my second foreign missions trip. I was blessed to be able to go to the first one, and I'd say this one that we just had was probably almost better than, if not better than, the last one we had. But thank you for all the support that was given to us in the youth department. Thank you to Brother Jesse, Miss Julie, and all the chaperones that went to help us, Brother Nick. And man, if I could just take every single one of you over to the Dominican Republic and have you see what we saw, it would change everybody's lives, I'm almost certain. One thing that played over my mind is that we're blessed here in America. We don't know how much we have until we see how little other people's have. And, you know, one thing that really stuck with me when we went to the Dominican Republic is the Bible says we're supposed to be a light into the world. And even though we had a language barrier with the people, I feel like our ministry had a light into the world because, like Pastor said this morning, our walk, talks, our actions have an effect on other people. So thank you very much.
As one of the adults that went, this was my first mission trip. Didn't know what to expect. Most construction projects we do around the house always take twice as long as we anticipate, cost twice as much as what we want to spend. This one was no different. first day taking off that roof and seeing everything. I say all that to say this. I never went out actually in the field with the kids, stayed there and helped with the construction till the bitter end. Like was mentioned, the youth switched out. Some would go in the morning and then come back in, go out in the afternoon, the next day, sign up for the painting crew, whatever the case may be. The painting crew, some of you parents probably still washing paint out of some clothes. With the youth, some of the construction things we did, you've heard the expression trying to herd cats. Sometimes that's exactly what we were doing there. So, but I think the proof of everything that went on was last Sunday, where in the church, I measured it, the church is 18 by 36. There was 120 kids in there. And they said, okay, how many have never been in church here before? And about three-fourths of them had never been in church before. Now, the adults, I hate to admit, there are adults the next service. There are probably only 20 adults, but hopefully the children will be able to drag the parents into the church. So Brother Valero was very appreciative of everything we did. He, over and over again, was just so impressed not only with the construction and how we left his church, but also with the youth and their actions. And if there was troubles, I don't know about it, and that's sometimes that for us old people, that's the best way to be. So, as a church body, we thank you for your prayers and support, and like I say, had a great time.
When you come away from a trip like this and they ask you to give a testimony, it's hard. I'm sitting there in the seat changing my mind back and forth. I want to say this. I think when we come away from these trips, one of the biggest things I always come away with is respect for the missionaries. They've been there for so many years. And we would drive down the street on the way to the market, and Miss Valerio would say, "That's the street where my friend had a necklace ripped off of her." And Brother Valerio would say, "Well, that's the street where a motorcycle pulled up and grabbed my cell phone out of my hand one day and drove off." Or we'd pull out a tool, and he would say, "Well, I used to have one of those, but they broke into the church and stole it." And they're wonderful people, but they're poor, and poor makes you desperate. And they steal everything. We put together a metal fence out of metal that we'd practically throw away here. And if you saw us with a pickaxe, putting holes in it so that people who are on drugs wouldn't be tempted to steal it, take the fence down in the middle of the night and steal it and go sell it for drug money. There's so little there, and then the Valerios just stay. We walked into a market, and one of the men came up and said, "Oh, I love mission groups." And then we realized why he loved missions groups. They loved our money. And then Brother Jesse went with him, Brother Valero, to buy something from a shop, and they wouldn't sell him the part. And we were pretty sure it was just because we were Americans. It's not the easiest. The people are wonderful people, but it's not the easiest thing to be an American there and to try to reach people and try to get past that. You're not here just getting something free from me, but I really want to tell you about Jesus. But the Valeros love those people, and they're just such good people. And we came away with a great respect for them, for what they do, for what they've given up to do.
First of all, I want to say, parents, thank you for letting your teenagers go. I know it's no small thing to trust Brother Jesse. Let's just say it. No, it's no small thing to trust your kids to go to a developing country like that. It can be a dangerous place. But I've heard many of you give testimony already today that the Lord's changed your kids' lives through it, and it's impacting your life. So it's well worth it, well worth the investment in time as well. I think we have such a misconception of what joy is, and too often we associate joy with possessions and how much is in our wallet, how much is in the bank account. We saw some of the happiest people I've ever seen, and they had nothing. What a shame that we all waste our lives counting numbers, counting dollars, and not enjoying what God's given us. He's the only source of joy. What a great reminder this trip was. Your teenagers have a very high capacity for work. Don't underestimate that. We saw them work incredibly hard. So if your expectations here are lower than that, don't let it be. Make them work hard. They did a great job. And what a great attitude. Honestly, what a great attitude. I was impressed so much with our teenagers and our single adults and couples that were there. What a great opportunity. I fell in love with the kids there. Sweet, sweet kids. And it broke my heart to think, who's going to love these people? Who's going to love these kids as they grow up? The Valerios are doing an incredible job, but they can't do everything. Who's going to love them? But what a great reminder that God loves them more than I ever could, more than you ever could. He cares about their future. He cares about what they're going to do with their lives. And he's going to take care of them much better than we ever could. And lastly, the Valerios. They were called to the mission field, as Pastor said earlier, later in life. Spent some time in the UK, spent some time pastoring in the States. They did not even go to language school until they were 50 years old. And now they've been in the Dominican for about 20 years. What an incredible story. What an incredible testimony. And I think a good reminder to all of us, it's not too late to serve the Lord and to fully give your heart to him. Thank you so much for the opportunity to go. It truly was a life-changing thing for me. God bless you.
Okay. First, I want to thank Brother Jesse for letting me go, being as I'm not in the youth. You know, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to, but I told him that I really wanted the opportunity to go. So thank you for letting me go. I went to Honduras, and that was a life-changing trip, and being able to go to Dominican again, it was amazing just to go there and just realize how blessed we are here in America, because there's so many kids there that have nothing, and they always have a smile on their face, and they're always so willing to help us there whenever we're working or just going out and evangelizing. I think that's one of my favorite things down there, just walking around, doing the puppet shows, making the balloon animals. We would yell out Venga to the kids, which means come, and they would all just like swarm, and it was just amazing to see it. And they'd follow us around everywhere, and they just, I don't know, there's something about the kids that just touch your heart, and you just amazing.
Well, like everyone else said, we were thankful for your prayers here in the U.S. There were just a couple slight injuries, little bumps and bruises. I know B got electrocuted. I think Brother Jesse did too. So there was a couple minor things that maybe didn't get disclosed, but we survived. Everybody made it back. We did put on a lot of miles in the bus, and you know, a lot of miles in the plane as well. So all in all, it turned out great. Tell you a little bit about the clinic. I know several of you donated to help with the medical supplies and toothbrushes. We were able to see 81 in the clinic. Riley, who hadn't been on a medical trip before, jumped right in, and she did all the blood pressures and things like that. And then we were still really busy, Rachel, seeing patients, and she jumped in and saw quite a few patients as well. So basically the way it worked was the patients came in, we took their vital signs, and then one-on-one would ask them, you know, what their chief complaint was. And after we were able to talk through that and give them some medication, we were able to present them with the gospel. Miss Eva gave her testimony to all the ladies that that came. And Brother Juan was able to talk to, there was a handful of guys that came, and he was able to talk one-on-one to several of those guys as well. And there were two ladies saved. Miss Valerio opened the Bible and was able to give them the gospel. So it was a great trip. You know, we were thankful for your prayers and support. One of the things that taught me was like Brother Wagner, I was part of the construction crew and didn't go out and help with evangelism, but just remind me that everybody's important, and it doesn't matter what job you're doing. It took all of us to get the job done and make it a successful trip, through God's help. And it's the same here in the United States in our church. Everybody's important, and there's a lot of people that do work behind the scenes here that we don't really realize. Not everybody's in the choir or up here preaching every week, but there's people that are helping set up and cleaning that if it wasn't done, we wouldn't be able to be a successful ministry and be a good testimony to the people coming in here. So thanks again for your prayers and support, and we look forward to doing it again sometime.
So, hello. My name is Jimmy, and this is my first mission trip ever. So I was very thankful to go, and thankful for all you guys for letting us have the chance to go out there. And this mission trip has just touched my heart to see how thankful I am. It really opened up my eyes. And one of my favorite days was that my first day was I went out to go witness to people. And I had this tracks in my hands. What's that? And then some kids just took it out of my hands. I was so confused. So I kept looking at that kid. He just goes to every single house, just throwing the tracks in people's houses. I was like, wow. So, yeah, this trip really opened my eyes. So thankful I am being here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Miss Eva. So, first of all, I want to, thank everyone who gave and made this trip possible for us. For all your prayers, and again for Brother Jesse and Ms. Julie, they worked really hard in getting all this together. I probably wouldn't have known what to do with like so many people. I'd be like, just do what you got to do. But they did an amazing job in just assigning jobs to everyone. So yeah, this trip was great. Again, these kids, their smiles, their faces. That's one thing that I'm. That I get to walk away with, I speak English and Spanish, so I did a lot of the translations. So I was able to get to know a lot of the kids, I think, a little bit more. If I could bring those kids with me, I probably would have. There's one kid especially that touched my heart that I want to tell you guys about. His name's Angel. I didn't know his name when I first met him, but I did meet this kid when we were out doing some outreach. The kids were doing the balloon animals and the puppet show. Well, Angel was, must have been somewhere between 9 and 11 years old. What does your typical 9 and 11-year-old kid do here? Play baseball, right? Have fun, play video games. Well, Angel was out in the streets working. He had a little box with his little shoe shine stuff, when he saw us giving balloons, he like ran and he wanted his balloon. He got his balloon. The kids did the puppet show. He was just watching with this big old smile on his face. And I just happened to look down. I happened to look down at his feet while he's out cleaning other people's shoes. He's wearing sliders, not full sliders, 3/4 of sliders on each feet. They're like the whole front half of them are gone on both of his feet, but yet he's out there, shining people's shoes. So this little kid, I saw him and I just couldn't get him off my mind. I talked to Brother Nick about it and I was like, oh man, like I wish I could see him again. But the next day we did the medical clinic, so I wasn't going to go out and I knew I was going to see him again. But God's good, and I saw him Sunday morning at church. So he was out in the front. So I stayed in the front. I talked to him and his name's Angel. So I know Angel. So Angel's going to be in my heart forever, and I'm always going to pray for him and just wish that you all continue to pray for all these kids. Behind every face, every smile you see there, there's a story.
Hi. This mission trip was great. I went to Honduras. It was it kind of opened your eyes to how blessed we are here. And it was kind of the same in the Dominican. I was on the roof most of the time, that Mexican labor, whatever. I was up there, and my dad actually told me something. We looked at a house to the side of the church, and he said, you know, God puts you where you're supposed to be, you know. We were all born in America. We could have been born over there in the Dominican, you know, right there in that little house. And it really spoke to me, you know, how blessed we are here, how much we have. You know, sometimes we take it for granted when we shouldn't, you know. And it really spoke to my heart and opened my eyes to how blessed I am and how blessed my parents are. And that's it. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Riley. I'm so thankful that I was able to go on this mission trip. After everybody went to Honduras, I was a little bit jealous, so I begged Brother Jesse to let me go. So I'll be honest, when I first got there, everybody's like, oh, I'm so excited to get out there. And I'm sitting there thinking, what am I doing here? This is not like anything I've ever seen before in my life. But truly, you just fall in love with everybody there, and that's what it's all worth it. The kids there, they just, day after day, you would come, and they would just sit there. They're sitting there waiting for you. And they're just lined up on the edge, just waiting for you to come out there, waiting for their balloon animals, waiting for their puppet shows, just ready for the Americans to be there. And they're so helpful. We were cleaning ceiling tiles, and they're out there just ready to get, you know, dunk them in the soap and just help you wash them off with the water pressure thing, whatever that's called. But they're just so helpful. And the people there, too, they were watching us try to saw the metal. Oh, my goodness, I don't know what they're called. But we took them off the roof, and we're using it for the fence, and we're using the saw to, you know, use it for the fence. And they are watching us, and they come by, and they're like, you guys are doing this the hard way. So they got a machete and, like, whacked it and, like, stood on it and, like, ripped it in half. And I don't know. They were just so helpful. They helped us in every way that they could, and you just fell in love with the people there. It was so great to help with the women's clinic, the family clinic, too. Miss Rachel taught me so much. I'm a labor and delivery nurse, so I'm very specialized in what I do. It definitely pushed me past my limits, but I learned so much, and it would be such a great opportunity to go again sometime and just keep doing medical missions in some way, shape, or form. The other things that we did, too, like whitewater rafting, that was also a great experience, but nothing like seeing those kiddos out there and all of those kids packed into that that church building that morning. So it was a really great experience. Everybody should for sure go on a mission trip someday. It's definitely worth it. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all the financial support that you guys gave to us. It was such a blessing.
It was a great experience. And I was thinking of the things that were accomplished. Sunday morning after church, the kids made balloons again. And so I had a bag of balloons, and I was just trying to keep those who were blowing them up busy. And I stood there for, I don't know, 20 minutes, however many time it was, and the kids are just all around me begging for balloons. And I'm saying, I just have the balloons. I'm passing them out. They're making the balloons. And what a great, effective tool it was. And I appreciate Brother Jesse and Miss Latta doing such a great job organizing the trip, doing a fantastic job. And then, again, our young people as well as adults, Brother Wagner and my dad and Brother James, all these adults working so hard while we were there. You know, the temperature, the humidity is the equivalent of what the temperature is. And I'm telling you, just sitting there, just pouring with sweat, just a fantastic. Miss Rachel telling us, drink some water, and keep everybody hydrated. And that roof, just remind you that, you know, our church paid for that tin that was put on that roof. And then our church put the tin on. And then we paid for the paint, and we painted the buildings inside and out, and put up the fence on the other side with the old tin. And we also had the opportunity to take him a sound system. We took a sound system down for the church. We also took him the Lord's Supper dishes down as well with us. We also took him some tools. We used the tools, and we left him with a lot of tools. And appreciate many who gave, and also a couple who donated tools. And so he's got tools now and a new roof and sound system and Lord's Supper. And we also bought chairs, those white chairs that were in the auditorium. We bought about 30 of those. We bought some white tables. And again, just the platform, the red platform you may have seen there, we paid for that. And the lighting and the ceiling fans, all these things. But nothing compares to passing out the tracts. I was on the roof for those 3 days, and so didn't get a chance to go out with everybody. But Saturday I did, and left the teenagers, most of the teenagers there to paint. By the way, they didn't complain. Saturday was supposed to be just evangelism day. We ended up having to work on projects because it always takes twice as much money and twice as long.
But some of us still went out, and I had opportunity to go to a park and there play basketball against a Dominican team. Our basketball team played them. We didn't do so well. But as I told the guys that played basketball, they were disappointed in how they played. And I said, listen, it has nothing to do with how you played. After we got through playing and our girls' volleyball team played as well, Brother Juan got to preach to over 100 people. And these were ranges from, 15 years old and up. There was a lot of adults in that crowd. And many of those, no doubt, most of those had never heard the gospel before. So Saturday, what a productive experience and getting the gospel to that many people. And I appreciate Juan stepping up. He just got elected deacon this year. And Juan and Eva, what a blessing they've been in our church. And my wife leading Eva to the Lord years ago and seeing that family come in to our church. And now junior high, working with our junior high boys. Juan said, well, are you going to speak to this crowd at the basketball court? And then I'll translate for you. I said, Brother Juan, let's don't put it through a translator. You just teach it. Preach it. You handle it. And so that way there's not a gap there. And it was much smoother. I don't know what he said, but it was really good. But to see Brother Valerio faithful at 72 years of age, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. Also, he's gone through a lot of trials. And he's been a part of four different works and have seen a couple of those works be taken over, either taken over or a Dominican. One time he had a work going and gave it over and, as an independent church, came home for furlough. When he got back a year later, found out that the Dominican guy had sold all the furniture and sold all the stuff and closed the church down. And, you think about a missionary who worked 3 or 4 years to see that church established and whatever, and then someone come in and just destroy it. And yet, Brother Valero's still there, working and doing a fantastic job, him and his wife. And so y'all pray for them as they look and seek to hand that work over to someone here in the near future. And but what a blessing. And I got so much other stuff written down. But I think Brother Nick is right, too. Our young people worked hard. And it's great to see them physically work hard and not complain. And what a blessing. And then just all the evangelism was done. I thought long and hard about how much money was spent sending us down there. And the thought of, and there's even a spoof on video about a comedian says, you know what, mission trips, how expensive they are. Why don't we just write a check and send the money down there? But as you can tell tonight, it's more than just about the money. It's about the impact on these young people's lives and the impact on Brother Wagner's life and my life. And for us to be able to come home and say, hey, remember, we live in America, we're blessed. We're not, and I'm not talking about physically. We are blessed physically, but we're blessed spiritually as well. You've got churches on every corner. There's not a church on every corner there. Hundreds of thousands of people dying and going to hell who need Jesus. And we need to get them the gospel. That soul in the Dominican Republic and that shanty in northern Santo Domingo, the suburb of Santo Domingo, that shanty, those kids in that shanty, those adults in that shanty are just as important to God than I am. And we need to be reminded as a church that our purpose as a church is to spread the gospel. Here in Texas, here in Hassett, here in Texas, here in America, and around the world. At the same time, Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And means in conjunction with, and at the same time. So we have to spread the gospel. And the eye gate is, the pictures are so effective. Be reminded that those kids represent a soul and they need Jesus. Amen? Look forward to another couple of years. We'll take another one. We're talking about maybe doing 2 trips next time and being able to take some more adults. And appreciate Miss James introducing a new aspect to the trip of being able to do medical missions. And you saw 2 people saved. It's very effective. So we look forward to introducing and having that a part of our trips and making it more of a part of the trip. And so, again, one more time, Brother Jesse, thank you. A lot of work, a lot of effort went into organizing that. And while on the trip, I had to hold my tongue a few times. I did last trip, too. I did not organize this trip. I'm not in charge. He did all the work. Amen? And I appreciate that very, very much. So, and by the way, held my tongue didn't mean that he was doing it wrong. He's just doing it different. All right? Amen. All right, everybody good? With that last statement, I didn't want it to be a negative statement, but it turned out that way. All right. Well, we're up with time. I want to cover something just very briefly. We're going to have baptisms. Service will go a little bit long. I want to cover something I covered this morning, and that is God has called us, God called Israel to be a distinct people. Remember that from this morning, anybody? God called them to be a distinct. He gave them laws and rules to make them distinct from the nations around them. Why did he call them to be distinct? He called them to be distinct to be a light to the nations around them, to show forth God's favor and what it is to serve the true and living God. In other words, to show the example of how God will work in a nation, how God will bless a nation whose God is the Lord. And can I remind you that you're to be the same, that we are to be a light, right? And we are to show forth God's favor, God's testimony to those around us. Secondly, God chose Israel to spread the gospel. That's what they were supposed to do. As God blessed them, and we think about the Queen of Sheba coming up to see Solomon. Remember the story? I'm not going to go read it. But the Queen of Sheba comes up to see Solomon. And when she gets to Solomon's court, she says, the half has not been told. In other words, it was even better than what she was told. He was wiser than what she was told. The nation was richer than what she was told. And credit was given to God. In fact, she went back and Ethiopia and became a light there in Ethiopia. Even to this day, there's an effect there. Now, there's some twisting of the truth in Ethiopia today. But originally, they had the light, even back in Solomon's day. And God was to use Israel to be that light. Now, as time went on, Israel failed in their task. And God set them aside and in their place put the church. And now the church is tasked with being a light. The church is tasked with spreading the gospel. The church is tasked with giving the gospel of the Messiah who now has come. Israel was looking forward to Christ, the Messiah who was to come. We're looking back and say the Messiah has already come. And our purpose is to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ who came 2,000 years ago and went to the cross and there shed his blood for my sins and paid the price for my sins and died and was buried and rose again from the dead. And that is our purpose as a church. Our primary purpose is not fellowship. Our primary purpose is not eating Baptist chicken. Our primary purpose is not even Sunday school, many of the other things, any of the ministries we have. Our primary purpose is to spread the gospel through those ministries. Every ministry to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. A church is a called out assembly of born again baptized believers performing the Great Commission. And when a church ceases to perform its purpose or to live up to its purpose, to do the task of its purpose, it ceases to be a church. If a church is not spreading the gospel, by definition, it's not a church. It's a social club. And today there are multiple thousands of churches across America that are nothing more than social clubs. So, preacher, you're down on everybody else. I'm just telling you the truth. And may we as a church be reminded by the missions, the mission trip this last week, that our purpose is to spread the gospel. Our primary purpose is to spread the gospel of Christ. And let us be faithful in spreading the gospel around the world. Let's all stand. I appreciate Miss Eva's testimony. I saw that same kid. I told her, I saw that same kid. He had on Nike sliders, but a quarter of it was missing. And it touched my heart. And we saw them at separate times. Man, people need Jesus. I was telling one of the young people, I said, listen, I didn't just do that with Micah, I did that with several others. I said, I reminded them, Acts 17, God hath determined the times appointed and the bounds of our habitation. God determined when and where we'd be born. We ought to be thankful that God saw fit to us to be born in America. Amen. And but also just reminding ourselves of the need of the hour and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That boy, more than he needs another quarter of a shoe, he needs Jesus. Because here's the thing. You give him Jesus, he accepts Jesus, then he comes under the same provisions that you are under. The same promises you are under. That God will supply His every need. And He will do so. Amen. I want to preach real bad. Let's pray. Hymn 153 after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the pictures tonight. God, may our eyes affect our heart. We thank You for the testimonies tonight. And may what we heard touch our heart. And Lord, may we not walk away tonight the same. God, may we remember the importance of Your word and the gospel and the good news. And may we continue as a church to make it the main thing, to spread Your gospel around the world. Lord, bless the many who gave towards the trip. Bless those who worked so hard on the trip. And bless the Valerio family, the missionaries. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 153.